Okay, the first thing I need to tell you is you are being recorded. And you will always be recorded. So if you're in this class, you are being recorded. Okay, so there's the official announcement, and I'll never remember probably to tell you again. Okay, what I do with those recordings is I actually put them up on the web. So if you miss a class, you can go up to the web and see it. But I'll get to that when I get there. Okay, my website is www.pgrosser.net. And you should go ahead and log in. And go to www.pgrosser.net. www.pgrosser.net. There's my name, pgrosser.net.
It's like going into your access.
Okay. So you are going to be using this for most of the things that we're going to do. Interestingly enough, when I went to buy my website, pgrosser.com was selling for, I think, thousands. And pgrosser.net was the average price. But apparently I have the wrong last name, and there's a lot of grocery stores that want something with the word grocer in it. So then later on I bought pgrosser.com, but I decided that I'd stick with pgrosser.net. Bought it cheap. Nobody apparently liked the price. So my name is Priscilla Grosser, and this is my website. Okay, when you come here, on the front page, for example, my schedule is listed there. And so you can go and see my schedule there. Pat, in the back of the room, is the SI, supplementary instructor for this course. And he is going to be available a bunch of hours for help. And just for people coming and getting homework done. We find that it is a good thing. If you come and get your homework done, and there's somebody standing there that you can ask a question to, if you suddenly run into a question, it tends to mean that the homework actually gets done because you didn't put it away and wait until you could ask somebody.
Yeah.
So I would strongly recommend, when I go to the site, and there's my site, each week I will put something up here that tells what's happening during the week. And I will post the hours that Pat's available for help, and I'll post the hours that I'm available for help. So basically, I would pay attention to those, and if you have questions, I would come. If you just have problems getting the homework done because you've got too many other things to do, I would come, okay? In other words, if you have a prioritizing issue. Okay, so if you click on CIS 120, and I call it 120/17 because it was 17 for years, and some of the handouts will say CIS 17, and I want to make sure you know that it's the same course. So 120/17. Each week, I will put up the week of information, and there it is. And the week of information is going to contain what I want you to do that week, what I want you to be aware of that week. You should read it. Okay, so read the week of information. And once you have read the week of information, at the bottom, I will put in assignments. Okay, so at the bottom, I will put in the assignments. So you can find this keyword that says assignments. On the whole, I will put the new week out over the weekend before class on Tuesday. But I may modify it during the week depending on what happens in class Tuesday or what happens in class Thursday. So you need to go back and check it. Just because you read it Monday night doesn't mean that it's not going to change. So you need to go back and check it during the week. Okay, my website for people who just came in is pgrosser.net. Okay? So,
go through that. It tells you what I want to have accomplished the week, and it tells you the assignments. Assignments are due on the whole, and this week it's different because we only have one day of class. But on the whole, assignments are due the Thursday after they're assigned. Okay, so that basically, even if I assign something Thursday, that gives you a week to do it. So assignments are due the Thursday after I assign them. Okay. One third to a half or more of you will not pass this course. Okay? So half of you plus some sometimes will not pass this course. And the reason is not that the course is hard. The reason is that you don't do the homework. The homework is 80% of your grade. Okay? So, if you don't do the homework, you're not going to pass the course. I give a lot of homework.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
So, on the whole, you're going to get 2 to 3 assignments per week. Sometimes only one. But if you keep up with the homework and you get it in, you'll pass the course. If I were to look at the people that didn't pass the course and look at the blank spots under the grades, that's the correlation. It's not the kind of grade. It's more the blanks. Okay? I accept late work. I begrudgingly accept it if it's too late. But I accept it. The way that the course works, if you look at the percentages in the syllabus, I'll find it yet. 80% is homework. 10% is being a responsible person. And, you know, the quality of your work, keeping up to date, etc. 10% is the final. Now, when you pass in an assignment, if it is not a good assignment, doesn't show me that you've learned the material, I will send it back to you without a grade. And I will say, this is what's wrong with it, fix and resubmit. Essentially, I was a lousy student. If somebody gave me back a paper or something and it was something that was passed, and I never bothered to read many of the comments. I just said, yeah, moved on to the next thing. I don't want you to do that because I need you to learn everything that we're covering. So therefore, if the assignment isn't showing me that you understand, I will make comments, I will send it back to you and say fix and resubmit. There is no grade in the grade book until you resubmit it. It's not late because if you got it in on time, but there's no grade in the grade book until you fix and resubmit. I'm serious about the fact that I want you to learn the material, and that's the only way that I know of to force you to learn the material. However, I'm not successful in forcing a good portion of you to learn the material, and that's why a lot of people don't pass the course. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, just from experience with her classes, her homework is challenging. But when you learn it for good. You know what I mean? It's going to help you, especially in later courses, move on and get better at computer programming and understanding it. And all the different aspects, I mean, look at all this. You're going to learn a lot in this class. Just intros to things.
Right. It's a survey course. So we're going to go through a whole load of topics. We're going to start with HTML. As soon as you think you know a little bit about HTML, we'll move to Access. As soon as you know a little bit about that, we'll move to some, and we'll keep progressing through this because it's a survey course as opposed to an in-depth course. All the other courses that I teach tend to be sequentially building on the next thing. But this is a topics course, and there's a load of topics.
And one last thing, that homework thing is no joke. Do it. And get it done. When you get it, work on it like as best as you can. And don't be like, oh, I'll just do it the day before. Just everything catches up really, really quick, especially mid-semester.
I'm going to agree with that entirely. I dropped this class last semester. you get behind the tiniest bit, there's no going back. It piles up, it piles up. You cannot keep up with it. If you have more classes, this will drown you.
Yep.
Get it done.
Yep.
There you go.
Okay. So, are you all scared now? That's my goal here. I want to scare you into doing the homework.
I dropped all the development big scores.
Purely online, not easy either. I dropped out because I couldn't do it purely online.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. I think a lot of people find, but that's true in a lot of classes. They find that it's easier to come to class. Now, as I said, I do record the lectures, and the stuff that's up here on the board, I take pictures of. So if you go home and listen to the lectures and look at the smart board, I think it helps. But it's certainly a lot easier to be here than it is to do that. Now, I'm kind of skipping all over the place because somebody asked a question and I think of it. This is called a hybrid course. I'm really teaching it much more like a student option course. I happen to know I'm going to be out a few days in April and probably one day in February, and so hybrid lets me do that. But student option means I have to be here every time and you don't, but that doesn't seem fair. So anyway, I'm teaching it more like a student option course because I will be out probably 3 days in the course of the semester. That means that you can come to class all the time. You cannot come ever and just do the course strictly online. Or you can mix and match. Come sometimes, not come other times. So in other words, if you know access really well and I'm covering access, you can say, okay, I'm going to stay home today because I already know this. And then I'm going to come for the classes that I don't know the material. So you can mix and match and come as you want to. So it's not a traditional hybrid class in the sense that I will be here the vast majority of the time. Okay? And if I'm not, then I will be posting the information online to accompany what I want you to do online. Okay, it will be, even if I'm out, it will be an online class. Okay. Anything else in this category? The 10% responsible is, as I said, I accept late homework. Every once in a while, I have somebody that passes in everything in May.
No, that's happened.
Yes, it has. Late April, early May. They can kiss the 10% responsible goodbye because I don't consider that being responsible. So 10% of your grade. In other words, I don't take off late assignment by assignment. I take them, I grade them on their value. But if I have in my grade book, this everything comes in late. You know, and I have to send it back to you 5 times before it gets right, then that 10% gets hit because you're not being responsible. You know, you're passing in stuff that I don't consider good. Now, if you pass it in and I pass it back once or twice, that's a different story. Because again, you know, there are times when you just didn't get something, and that's what I want you to do is I will let you know and ask you to fix it. So going back a few times is fine, okay? But if we start getting to the point that I feel like I'm spending more time on the assignment than you are, then, you know, there's some points lost in responsibility.
Ask questions during this class, too. Don't be afraid.
Right.
Ask as many questions as you want, even if they're dumb. Because, you know, we'll answer them and help you out.
Yeah. So. No, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's a cliche to say there's nothing but no dumb questions, but in fact, if you don't know the answer to it, it's not a dumb thing for you to ask it. Okay? So ask as much as you want. And in a programming, and this class gets a lot into logic and programming, if there's one thing you have to learn as a programmer is to understand that you're pretty stupid most of the time when you're writing the program and you make stupid mistakes. And you just have to kind of accept that about yourself. You know, I will write a program and I'll look at it and say, how could I have been so stupid? I know what that's supposed to do, but I did it wrong.
Yeah.
And you just have to kind of learn to accept the fact about yourself that you're going to make stupid mistakes. And you're going to kick yourself when you make them, and you're going to fix them, and then life's going to go on. But, you know, in fact, I always tell people stupid mistakes are the great ones because they're easy to fix. You know, it's the mistake that you can't figure out what you did wrong that's the hard one, because you don't know what you did wrong. But if you look at it and say, ah, that's good, because it's easy to fix.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Semicolons.
Right. Leaving out semicolons, the little things in life. So, there is the syllabus. The readme first and the introduction kind of give you kind of the same overview I'm giving you here. Those are probably more geared to people that are taking the class online and not here. So, let's see. Down here under audio lectures, I have put out the lectures, and you can see the last year's lectures. And I will be adding this year's. So tonight when I go home, I will put up the lecture from today. So occasionally they don't get up that night if I have a better offer. But they usually then go up the next day. So there's usually only about a day's gap between when I give the lecture and when it goes up. So I will put up the lecture under audio. And I will put up the notes that I take by taking pictures of the screen under SmartBoard. Now, the problem is that I do them separately. And I do them separately because a lot of people like to get the SmartBoard notes, and then they don't have to copy down everything that I do up here. Okay? And they don't want to have to listen to the whole lecture to see the SmartBoard notes. So I put the SmartBoard notes up separately from the audio. And that takes a little getting used to. When you're listening to the audio and figuring out when you should look at the next SmartBoard, it takes a little getting used to. And sometimes, you know, you click too soon or click too late, but you can always put me on hold or you can always go back and forth. The lectures and notes are out there so that if you're not in class, you can get it, but also so that if you missed something in class, didn't understand something, when it came to doing the homework, you suddenly realized that you thought you understood, but you didn't understand. You can then go back and look at the lecture, listen to the lecture, and look at the SmartBoard notes to see what actually happened in class. Okay? So those are out there. Notes, handouts, and examples, and programs, and presentations, all of those give you information that we're going to go over. My suggestion is that you only look at the topics that I'm covering when you go out here. If you start going through my notes and handouts sequentially, or my examples sequentially, you're going to get totally lost. If I am doing HTML, which is what I'm going to do, then you want to look at my HTML examples. You don't want to look at my Access examples. So basically, you want to go in and pick up the examples that are related to what I'm doing in class. And the first topic we're going to cover is HTML, and so you're going to go and look at that. Let's see. Weekly schedule, and then assignment summary. I put out there an assignment summary so that if you want to kind of have a checklist of the assignments for the week, you can go to the assignment summary, and that will tell you what I put in assignment. It won't give you the details. It will just tell you the name of the assignment. So this week, I want you to do a survey and an introductory HTML page. I'm not going to cover everything for that page until next week, which is why I put up here that it's not due until February 1st. So, you know, you might start it this weekend if you want to play around a little with HTML, but you're going to be adding to it next week after we've covered more. I don't, unless you want to go on your own, you're not going to get everything you need to do the assignment. Now, this course also covers the CSS course that is a requirement. CSS 101, maybe? I don't remember the number. But if you look, CSS is a requirement by the college. We have incorporated that into this class, so you don't have to take it as a separate course. Okay? It is incorporated into this class. And one of the ways it's incorporated is when you look at this HTML page, I give you some things to read. So if you look at this, I give you some things to read, and I shouldn't have bothered probably. It's going to take forever. No, it's a little faster than I thought. No, it's taking forever. Okay, so I've given you some information about learning styles and time management. You don't have to read all of them. I'd like you to pick and choose a couple of articles. And on the webpage, I want you to write about yourself, about your learning style, and about how you plan to manage your time. Okay? Basically, what the college says about time, they were commenting on the fact, I was at a meeting on Tuesday, and they were commenting on the fact that students, when they came in and filled out expectation form, some of them was, the average student was saying they intended to study for 5 hours a week. Okay? Ain't gonna work. The college, on the other hand, says that I should be giving you work from 2 to 3 hours for every class hour. That means a 3-credit class is 6 to 9 hours worth of work. Okay? Now, if everybody holds to that and you're taking 5 classes and have a job and have a family, I guess you don't sleep. So, essentially, keep that in mind, that that's what the college says the expectation should be, is 6 to 9 hours of work for every 3-credit course. Okay. And I feel for you. Okay. Questions? Yeah.
Your email?
Yeah, my email. Good point.
Yeah.
Homework should be passed into my email. Let me go back and I have more room to write it here. I do not use the school email, priscilla.grosser@bristolcc.edu. I don't use that for student work. I check it, but I tend to check it for names that I know in the administration and read their emails. I don't tend to read emails from names I don't recognize. So especially at the beginning of the semester, if I don't recognize your email, I probably won't read it. pgrosser@rcn.com is strictly for students. And so I get all of homework should go to that. And that is strictly a homework email. I don't have other things. All questions from students. But it's strictly a student email. So p.grosser@rcn.com. Then I ask you to send to a backup, too, which is pgrosser@gmax.com. And that's just in case anything goes wrong. It is smart to have a backup. And so I am having a backup there, and you should send, when you send things to me, it's just easier if you also send a CC to the backup. Then if something goes wrong, I will have it. What happens with the original one is I download to my hard drive. And so if my hard drive crashes, I have a problem. Now, I back up pretty regularly, but still, if you send it to the GMAX, then we have a backup of it. The other thing is, and this applies to every course everywhere, is you should never get rid of the work you do, your copy of it, until you've gotten a grade in the course. You know, you're nuts if you do. Because then not all email gets through. You know, sometimes I don't get an email. And so if you have a backup at the end of the semester, I will contact you if I've got a hole and say, these are the things I'm missing. And if you've got them, you send them to me and we're fine. But if you don't have them, then you have to do them or something. So it's best to keep up your own copies of all of these things. Okay. So those are my emails. Now, this class, as I said, can be taken online, which means that quizzes are online, final is online. Everything is online. So somebody in Texas can take this course and do just fine. You are never required to be in class. As several people have mentioned, it's probably in your best interest to be in class, but you're not required to be in class. Okay, did I forget anything else?
One last thing today. Just tomorrow I'll be here from 11 to 3.
And today from 2 to 4.
Yep, just so in case you guys want to get a head start or whatnot, stick around. And then tomorrow I'll be in this room. So after this class, if you want to do work, by all means, we can go in another room and I'll help you out. We can start the stage tomorrow. So.
And that will start to be more important. So as time goes on, Pat's available, multiple hours per week.
Yeah.
And I usually stay at least Tuesday afternoon, and frequently Thursday afternoon. So we're both available for help. Okay? And don't decide you just don't need it. It's just a lot easier, as I said, to come, do the work, and then if you have a question, ask it, as opposed to saying, Okay? It just makes sense.
So, that's it.
And a lot of you are probably taking CIS 121 also, and she's going to have someone available for help. And we may end up very much using the same room so that you have basically the resources for both classes. Okay, I think I've covered everything I want to think of. If I remember something after I get home, we'll talk about it on Tuesday. Do you have any questions? Yeah.
You said there's a survey. Where's the survey?
If you look under assignments.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, at the bottom.
Survey. Send me an email letting me know you've taken it. That's all I want. They're not going to send me the survey. Again, this is involved in the CSS. Just let me know. That talks about soft skills. You will be assigned a mentor about a third of the way through the class. So it's an email mentor. And the mentor is somebody that graduated from BCC as a CIS major and is now working in the field. And your job will be to interview them, and I will have you write two papers on interviewing them. One will be writing about their job, so you're going to ask them about their job, and the other one will be writing about the soft skills. So this survey kind of brings up the soft skills, hopefully gets you thinking about it, and then you're going to talk to your mentor about it as we go along. The mentors have been great. I mean, they've even ended up resulting in jobs for a few people. Get to know your mentor, take advantage of getting to be able to ask somebody that's working in the field. They may not be working in the same area that you're working in, but they are working in the field, and so they know what's happening out there. And it's really good to be able to talk to them and find out what they do and what their company does. Okay. All right. I actually managed to make that last for a half an hour. Not bad. Any questions? Yeah.
What IDE are we going to be using?
Pardon me?
What IDE are we going to be using?
What ID?
IDE.
IDE. I'm supposed to know that, probably.
The Integrated Development Environment.
Okay. We're not. We're using my website.
Oh.
Okay, No, I don't use any of that stuff. My stuff is up on the website, and basically you're going to be looking at my examples, bringing them up, looking at my examples, writing them, doing that kind of stuff. But I don't do any of that. Yeah.
Oh, I clicked on the HTML intro link, and all that came up is a single page that says, this is an introduction to HTML, and nothing else.
Okay, well, wait a minute. Yeah, that's what it's supposed to do. That's what it's supposed to look like. Believe it or not, believe it or not, that was the plan. Okay, we'll get there right now. As soon as I finish questions, we're going to start HTML. Any other questions? Okay, then, go to examples. In my left column, click on examples. Click on HTML5 intro. And it says, this is an introduction to HTML. Okay? And that's all it says. Now, if you do a right click on this and say view page source, you will then see the code that went with this. And I'm going to make the text size bigger. Actually, I just do this. Okay, so that's the code that created that page. Okay? So, if you right-click on the page and do View Source, or View Page Source, and it depends on what browser you're in exactly what it will say. Okay? I use Firefox pretty much exclusively. So if you want to be totally meshed with what I'm doing up here, use Firefox. If you don't care to be meshed, then you can use Explorer, Chrome, whatever you want to use. Okay, but I'm going to use Firefox, and so that's where I am. Yeah. Yeah, I'm Pat. Yeah.
What's the difference between Firefox
and Explorer here? In this class, probably not much. It's just I'm using Firefox. So when I say right-click and click on View Page Source, that's what it says in Firefox. It may say something slightly different in Explorer or Chrome. So if you want to be totally in sync with me, then you want to be in Firefox. If you don't mind winging it a little bit, then you can use whatever browser you want. Okay. Okay. So, now we are going to look at what created that page. HTML is the page that will bring up, that's the code that will bring up a web page. It's the code we use to write a web page. How many of you work with HTML? Okay. So those of you who have can help the person sitting next to you that hasn't, and that sort of thing. So we'll get through this. Okay. This particular line tells the browser, and that's what we're trying to do, is tell the browser what to display. Because we're putting up a web page, and the browser needs to understand it. That tells the browser that we're using HTML5, which is the latest version of HTML. There are other things you can put up there that will use other versions. If you just write HTML, then it kind of uses the standard default page HTML. Now, we're going to spend about a week on HTML. So, we're not going to worry too much about the in-depth. If you want to take an in-depth course, we have one of those too. But this class is just going to kind of introduce HTML. Okay? So, HTML has two parts. First of all, after we write this, and notice it's less than explanation doc type HTML greater than. Then beneath it is the actual HTML. So here is an opening and closing tag of HTML.
the tag has the less than and greater than signs around it. And it has the word HTML. And when I want to close it, I put the slash in. And that means I'm closing that tag. So it means everything inside those two tags is HTML. Then HTML has two parts. It has the head, and it has the body. Okay? The head is where I basically give it the basic information it should know. And the body is where I write what I want to see on the page. So in here, my head, and notice the close head has the slash in front of the word head. My head says simply title, introduction. Well, if you look over here, up on the tab, there's the title right up there, introduction. So whatever title I put in there is going to show up on the tag. So in this example, this is all I'm putting in the head. Then I get down to the body, and the body is where you do an extensive amount of work. But on this one, as the gentleman pointed out, I did pretty much nothing. And I wrote a paragraph. The P means paragraph. So the P tag says, I am putting out a paragraph here. And inside the paragraph I wrote, this is an introduction to HTML, and then I closed the paragraph. Okay? It would work if I didn't close the paragraph. The closing is basically something you should do, and people looking at your code can decide whether you know what you're doing or not based on whether you do it right. And so you should have opening and closing tags. But would it work? Yes. The browsers have an embedded interest in making your page come up no matter what garbage you put in it. Because they want to keep their customers happy and you want to see your page. So they really are awfully accommodating and try to make up for all your errors. Some of them they just can't. But they really try to make up for all your errors. Okay? So what I've got there is I am putting this is an introduction to HTML inside the body. And that is what displayed on the screen. So when I ran this page, that's all I saw. This is an introduction to HTML. Because that's all I wrote in the code. That's all I told it to do. Questions? I try to remember to ask for questions, but if I don't, just ask. Or if I'm in the middle of talking, put up your hand. But, you know, don't hesitate to ask questions, please. Sometimes I have to beg for them.
Yep.
Okay? I really like getting questions. All right, so that's that. Now we are going to move on to the next example.
Did you skip that one?
I hope not. Did I? That's intro, this is list, no? I went down the next one. Right click, view page source. Okay, so there is, whoops. There is my page. Okay. And again, one of the reasons why we run this in a computer lab is so you can bring it up on your screen and look at it, and that's probably a lot clearer to read on your screen than it is on mine. Okay. So on this one, I have exactly the same top. In fact, I probably cut and pasted it. Okay? It says introduction. Then I got into the body, and I still have that paragraph. And then I decided I wanted to put another line in that paragraph. But I wanted to have a break in the sense of I wanted to move down the line. And I decided to move down two lines. So I have BR which moved on to this line, and another BR that moved on to this line. So BR is called a break, and it moves me down a line. Okay, so whenever I want to move down a line, I include the BR tag. Now, in this case, I wanted to move down two lines, so I have two BRs. And notice again that every tag is enclosed in the less than and greater than. Okay, so I've got two BRs there. Okay. Now, BR does not have a closing BR. BR is just like hitting the enter on your machine. Okay. Now, there's one version, XHTML, that decided the BR should have a closing, and they stuck a slash in there. And you'll probably see that in some of my examples, but it's never needed. BR can just be written as BR. And, in fact, that's the right way to do it. Then I went in and said, okay, now I'm going to put up a list. And the tag OL stands for ordered list. An ordered list. And if you look over here at the result, okay, of the ordered list, you see that it has 1, 2, 3 in the list. Then down below, I put an unordered list, and the unordered list has bullets. So an ordered list numbers things 1, 2, 3, and the unordered list has bullets. Now, if you really get into HTML, you'll find ways that instead of using 1, 2, 3, I could use A, B, C. Instead of using circles for bullets, I could use something else, but we're not going there. But I'm just telling you that you have that potential. So, OL stands for ordered list. UL stands for unordered list. Each item within the list is an LI, which means list item. LI, list item. So each thing within the list is enclosed in an LI, and that tells it that it's a list item. Now, list items, when they were designed, assumed that the next list item would be on the next line. So you don't need a BR here. Because LI means move down to the next line and put it in. Okay, so the first LI goes on the first line, the next LI goes on the next line, the next LI goes on the next line. And they also have the close LI tag. When I first did in HTML, I never saw the close LI, and it came as a surprise to me that it existed. But nowadays, you see the close LI usually with the LI. Okay. Now, usually when I write text, the text being this is the ordered unordered list, I put it inside a paragraph or a division. P is a paragraph. DIV stands for division, which is basically similar to a paragraph. In older versions, it was required that you put everything inside a tag. HTML5 doesn't require that. And so I can just write that sentence and then break after it. Okay? I usually put things in a paragraph or a division, but I'm just telling you, you don't have to. Okay? So, what does a paragraph do? Well, a paragraph writes out the information inside the P, and then it skips a line. A division writes out the information inside the division, and it doesn't skip a line, but it does move down to the next line. A paragraph moves down to the next line and skips a line. You know how a book frequently has a line between paragraphs? That's what a paragraph does. A division does not make a line between divisions. So if you use division, the next division will start right on the next line.
And so that lets you manipulate how you want things to look. Yeah.
So if you had used paragraph instead of break, it would have skipped the line for you.
Yes.
In this instance, you used break, so that way it felt to skip the line.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Okay, what I would like to do now is, okay, I'm going to have you write one of these. So let me take this. I'm going to take this code, and when I write this, I write it in Notepad. And this is very, very important. You have to write it in a text editor. If you're using the Apple products, then you have to use their text editor. If you write it in Word, Word adds things for you. Okay? What Word does is it fixes things, and it adds things for you. And the things that it adds makes it such that it doesn't run right in the browser. So you can't write your code in Word. You have to write it in the text editor. And Notepad or Notepad++ are the two text editors that we have. If at home you have Macs or Apple products, then you have to look up and use their text editor, and I'm drawing a blank on what their text editor is right now. Anybody an Apple person? Okay, they have a text editor anyway. Use their text editor. So Notepad should be on the screen. You should be able to click on it. Notepad++ is there. So I was feeling lazy, so I just copied and pasted my example into Notepad. But you would write your example in Notepad or copy and paste part of it. So now I've written it in Notepad, and now I'm going to save it. So I say File, Save As. Now, the T drive is the drive where we can actually save things, and they'll be there tomorrow. All of the other drives get cleaned out every time the computer gets turned off, and anything that's stored on them gets lost. So if you want something to be there tomorrow, but it's only on this computer, then use the T drive. So when I save stuff, I save it on the T drive. Now, my strong recommendation is you buy a flash drive and bring it to class, and you save everything that we do in class, because we'll do stuff in class. Save everything we do in class on a flash drive so you have it to take home. But if you don't have a flash drive with you today, save it on the T drive, yeah.
Staples is pretty cheap, it just adds up like $7 for 16 gigabyte flash drive, something like that.
And you won't need that.
No, you won't. I mean,
so I'm going to make a name for this, and I'm going to call it First 2015. And I'm changing this to all files, and I'm putting .html on it, because I'm saving it as an HTML file. So I'm calling it First2015.html. Okay? So I'm saving it as an HTML file. Okay.
Where was it you were saving it to?
I just saved it to the T drive. And I just saved it right to the root of the T drive. I didn't even bother.
And then you can just pick up the word and call it. What did you call it?
I called it First 2015, but yeah, you can call it anything you want. .html. .html. Now, I've saved it. When I want to open it, I bring up the browser, and I say File, Open File. I go to the T drive, and I find First 2015. And I click on First 2015, and there's my page. Okay? So I went and opened it in my browser.
Okay?
So, what I want you to do now is write an HTML page. You can basically write the same thing I did. You can write different words, make a list, whatever. Save it and bring it up in a browser so that you go through all of those steps of writing it, saving it, and bringing it up in the browser. Okay? And if you have questions, that's what Pat and I are here for. And that's what all the people that said yes, they know HTML are here for.
Yep. That one actually will erase. Like, if you save it on the C drive or something, it's going to erase tomorrow. So save it on the T drive.
So don't put it on the T drive. Yeah, but change it or something so that it looks like you did
whatever. It doesn't matter what you call it.
We're not passing this in.
Call it first. Dot HTML. And what you can do is see the save as type. Usually you want this, like this .html thing, 100% markup language. Click on that. You can also make it all files. So go all the way to the top. I'm just going to show you so that way you know in the future. All types. You don't want it .txt because it's going to be a weird file. So now save that. And there you go. It's all sorted away. So first .html, we're all set. So and if you want to run it, you can either A, go to this run right here, and just do launch in whatever one you want to launch it in. I'd say Firefox or Chrome. They're good. Internet Explorer is kind of wacky, especially in some.
If you use Notepad++, it gives you a few more diagnostics of the problem.
It's just add-ons for Firefox.
But Notepad is the easy version.
It just means that it's HTML5. Don't worry about it. And actually, just put this right here.
Yeah.
We're on Google Chrome when I open your browser.
Yeah. And now we know in 25 words or less why I hate Firefox. You know, they just don't give you the simple things. Come on.
I would use Firefox.
Okay. Yeah, right.
I just to grab the code.
Okay, any Chrome experts here that know how to view sources?
Well, you're already in Word.
Oh, view source?
Yeah, you're already in Word.
So go ahead and type it the way you typed it. Let's see if that works.
Notepad++, you can go to a spot that says like one on the top. You can pick whatever
HTML.
Specific.
And I got to figure out what the font is.
Browser you want to use. So, it's pretty good.
Web page is not found.
I had enter on the Firefox. I didn't fail it. I didn't fail Firefox. So I've got to save my text. I don't know what
you want. Your file or her file?
My file. All
right. So what you want to do is, where is the actual file? Go, this will hold it up here.
Slash, slash. No, I'm after this.
Go to the space, dot space there. And then right click on it. And then you can do open with. You don't want to do Internet Explorer open with, and you can pick one of those.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. There we go. All right. So I got to set it for it.
Basically,
if you go into your file,
go to the T drive right here.
And then when you see the name of your file,
and then right click on it.
Yeah, right.
And then you open with.
Out spaces.
All right.
Yeah.
On the T drive.
My brain's a few years old. Also, you want to make sure, see the save as HTML thing? You want the hypertext markup language, don't click on that. Go up to the top. So you need to have that hypertext markup language, or you can always have small files. You can save it on the desk. I'm saying, picture when you're like, okay, what's going on, what's important. So if it's dot txt, it's not going to work. You can do, like, you're good if you want. That's the way to do it.
Now save this. Bring up to the top.
So all this needed is the...
Yeah, you don't want to use this. Oh, and before you do that, go over here and dot html. Now you can either go to where it was in the sauce base. I'm going to show you that in first. Go to the folder. Go to the sauce base right here. And you'll find your that first 2015 right there. Or you can do this. Go to where you had that that opened up. Like that. Where is that other Notepad++. Okay, you can also go to run, and you can pick your own browser. Or you can right-click on the file and just configure out which one you want to hit open with. So those are different ways to do it.
Different
things, add another paragraph if you want, or add a list.
The less, you tell it differently.
You good? Okay, cool. Anyone else?
Questions?
What's up? You can mess around with it. You can add another paragraph. You can add another list. Just kind of work around with it and just see what you can make.
That's what I say to your experiment.
Excuse me?
Yep, come on.
So I've got everything done in here. I just need to know where you want me to put it.
T-drive.
Okay, so I save it as...
Save as,
and I save it as .html.
But go into, see my computer here? See the computer thing right there? Go into that. It's in the T-drive right there.
Oh, thank you, okay.
Yeah, so double-click on that.
Give me a second.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Give it a title.
Just put first for now. Oh, no spaces. .html.
I didn't know there was no space.
And then see this guy right here, the save type? Change that to all files. Because otherwise it'll save it as a text file and it won't work at all.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So go to thought space and then just save it there. You can make a folder if you want. That's and it'll be saved for later. It's up to you.
Folder.
Go to new.
I know how to do it.
Okay.
As Pat pointed out to a couple of you, just a sec, if you go into Explorer, down here and just open, and you go to the file space, and click on the thing you want, and if you come in here and say open with, it will let you pick what you want to open it with. So you can do an open with, and you can pick Firefox or Chrome or Internet Explorer. So that's the other way to get it open once it's out there, is to just go right click on it and say open with and tell it you want to open it in the browser. So that's an alternative way of
putting it. There you go. And then it's the slash, it's like that.
Yeah,
just watch out for it.
You have the order list too.
Yeah, you do.
Body.
Yep. Just make sure it's not capitalized. Like, see this head right here?
Oh, I didn't
get rid of that.
I did not notice that.
Don't even worry about it.
Oh, God. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, it's just for future.
And
then HTML.
Slash HTML.
Yep, you got it. Yep. Weirdly, I think that might work, but hit the file save. And now go into your T drive spot there.
Where is it?
Go into the folder.
Are we all set?
Dot space. And John. And you can, give it a sec. It'll open up in the Internet Explorer.
There you go.
That's your stuff.
Yep.
Can you make me a
Okay. Okay, the third example. We can take a look at the third example, which is Luke page. And again, view page source lets me see what I have here.
I'm sorry, where are we?
Third example.
Third example, thank you.
Under HTML. It's called, what is it called? HTML5 link page. Okay. I'll wait until people are ready.
Third example under HTML5?
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you.
So it should say HTML5 link page dot HTML.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, are we all set?
Nope, hold on. Where is it? First.
Third one. The next one down in that list that we've been looking at.
Oh, I closed your.
Uh-oh. Go to my page. I'm under examples. Click HTML, and it's the third one down.
There you go. I'm going to be learning about colors now.
Okay. If you want to have a simple way of linking, I saved a page called Another Page in the same directory that I saved this page. So they're in the same directory.
Oh.
So if they're in the same directory, if I tell it to bring up the page, that's where it's going to look, is in that directory.
Directory is also a folder, same folder.
True.
So, yeah, just a heads up.
Directory and folder are synonyms. Okay? New page doesn't exist. I told it to bring up new page, but it's not going to be able to do it because it doesn't exist. And that was purposeful. So if I click on another page, notice it brings something up. If I click on new page, it brings up an error message. Okay? Because new page doesn't exist. So, my first thing, whoops, that's not what I want, that's what I want. My first thing, let's see if I can make this just a little bit bigger. Okay, so I started out and I have a doc type HTML and all that. And then I went into the body and I said, paragraph, here are some links. And I put in two BRs, which means I'm skipping a line. One BR moves to the next line, two BRs means I skip a line. Okay? And then I said, okay, AH reference. Now, notice this is an A anchor. It's called an anchor. It's an A. And what I've got here is I've got the joys of the smart board.
Yeah, that's my board.
Actually, I didn't want to save this. Closing, Claire. Wait until click here to restore ink is gone, and it's not supposed to do that. You will discover as we go along that you're also getting a course in how to use the smart board, or how not to use the smart board.
As you can see.
Okay, so now it's not letting me write. But there's a magic space that I can come over here and click on, right there. And now it's going to let me write. She says with great faith. Yes. Okay. So now I've done an A.
Now notice that the A actually ends right there. And then I wrote another. So notice where the A ends. Okay, the A ends over there. So that tag is that long. Within that tag, I'm putting H reference equals all of this information. H reference equals, and I'm putting the name of the page in quotes. So all of that is written within the anchor tag. So I'm writing A, the anchor, and then I'm saying the H reference, meaning the place I want to link to, and then I put the location of the place that I want to link to. Okay? Then I write another page, and then I have the close of the A. Just like when I have an LI, I have to close the LI. When I have an A, I close the A. So that's the close of the A. But within the A, I have all of this information that tells it where to link. So I put the where to link inside the tag, which is a little different than we do other things. I put information here inside the tag telling it where to link to. Now, the words that I wrote, another page, is what is put up there. And because I said AH reference, it's underlined as a link. Okay, so it knows that that's a link, and it passes that information on to you by turning it blue and underlining and all that good stuff. Now, you can clearly change all of that. You can have it not on the line, you can have it not turned to blue. But on the whole, those are good techniques to use because people are expecting that. If you see something blue and underlined, you know it's a link. Okay? So, I put this page in the same directory. So another page is in, right in with here. Okay? Another page. They're both in the same area, so they're both under HTML5. I put them both in the same directory. So that means I am linking to a page in the same directory. And that's the easy way to do that. However, if it's not in the same directory, then I need to put a path in. Okay, so this would end up being a path if it's not the same directory. I would have to give it a path to tell it where to look. So in other words, what I'm telling you is that the default place to look is in the same directory. So it will do that automatically. But if it's not there, then it won't find it, and it will come back and tell me that it didn't find it. Give me an error page. So if it's not there, I need to put in a path. Okay? Questions?
What's a path?
The address.
Oh, okay.
So if I look at the next page, which is more links, and I look at view page source, if I want a link to my home page, I put in the same address that I would be able to the browser would generate. So I say ahreference equals http://, and I put in my page. So I put in the address that I would type in the browser, and I include the http, which the browser puts in for you. Okay, you only have to type the address, but the browser really puts in that HTTP and tells you that's where it's going. So if I want to go to a website or any place, I can put in the entire address. Okay? So if I come over here and say link to the CIS 120 page, it links to that page. Okay. So if I put in the entire address, it will go to wherever I send it. Okay. Now, at about this time, you are, a lot of you are in CIS 121, and you're going to be getting into addresses a lot in there. That's the main place that this is done. So, here I have three different possibilities. In one of them, I am saying, okay, I have this folder. If you look at it, on my hard drive, if you look at my address up there, I have...
I can see the frustration in her eyes.
Oh, absolutely. This is the story of my life. Okay, so it didn't want me writing outside there, and I have to click the magic spot. And now you understand why not a lot of people use this to write on. Okay, so I'm starting out, and if you look over here, I said go to www.pgrosser.net. Okay, so that's my domain that I bought. Within pgrosser.net, now it's letting me write up there. Whatever. There is a directory or folder called CIS-17, because my address says go there first. Then there is a directory inside there called HTML. Then there is a directory called HTML5. And then there is a file called HTML5 morelinks.html. Okay. So what I loaded that my page and I clicked on this to go to this page. It said, okay, I'm going to HTTP, hypertext markup, HTML, sorry, HTTP, www.pgrosser.net. Then I'm going to go inside the directory or folder called CIS-17. Then I'm going to go inside the directory or folder called HTML, which is a directory in CIS-17. Then I'm going to go into HTML5, and then I'm going to finally find it. Well, as we said, anything else in this, so if I had, let's say, first.html, if I put that in there, that will be there. And I can just say, bring up first.html, because it's in the same directory. Now this one, I decided, was a subdirectory. So I said, okay, I have a subdirectory called sub-html5, and within that, you will find this page. So I'm sitting here right now. This is where I'm sitting. Okay? The page is where I'm sitting. It's inside the folder I'm sitting in. Any other page inside the folder I'm sitting in, I can access. I can also say I'm sitting in here, and it has a subdirectory or subfolder under it that is called sub-html5, and in that, I have a file called file in sub-html5.html. My names are too long. But essentially, if I'm sitting here, I'm saying go to sub-html, and get this page, which you'll find in sub-HTML. So, go to sub-HTML5 from where you're sitting. The important thing is to know where you're sitting. Okay? When in doubt, put everything in the same folder. Then you don't have to do any of this. Okay. But the other thing is, when in doubt, and I do this sometimes, give the whole address. You can always give the whole address, even if it's a subfolder. I could have written the whole address of it. Okay. So, if what I'm saying is Greek to you, hopefully it won't be after you've taken 121 for a while, but the answer to the problem is put everything in the same directory for this class, because we're not doing that much, and then you'll be fine. Okay? So, to be continued, since I'm 2 minutes over, to be continued next Tuesday. If you have any questions, feel free to ask. Anybody that doesn't want to leave the hear the answer can leave. So ask any questions you have.
I'll see you around the table.